time of the flesh. May God bless those reading from his word. There is no doubt as we study the scriptures and these epistles by Paul that Paul was an outstanding pastor. He was writing to Thessalonians here that he hadn't met, they hadn't seen him. He would see some of them later on, but at this point he'd had a record of their dealings and how they were going on in the Christian life, and he sought to exhort them. He loved them. He loved them dearly, though he hadn't seen them. And you know, if you have a godly pastor, and you have here, don't despise him. He's somebody to be honoured and revered and loved. Sadly, today, that isn't the case with many of our pastors, but that's another point. But here, Paul was concerned concerning these Colossians that they might depart from that which had been taught them, from the faith. And he warned them against this. He warned several of the churches that he wrote to of this. And perhaps we don't understand as much as we ought to the beginnings of these churches. Many of these churches were very new churches, and they were commenced by converts from paganism. And once paganism has got set into a person's character and their life, it takes them departing from. And because of that, some of these pagan practices came into the church and ruined it. And God and Paul sought to, you know, to warn people of this. And he gives some very good advice. I wonder if you've ever taken stock of your life. How often do we pause and look back over our life? The older you get, perhaps the more you do that. Do you ever think of any changes that you might make if you had your life over again? Lots of people said, I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that. I had an old boss, he wasn't a Christian, he was far from it. But he used to say he'd had enough struggles to get through life as far as he had. He didn't want any more, he didn't want him over again. You know, life isn't like a video that you can run to a certain extent and then stop and play it back or fast forward. Life is in God's time. God has appointed a time for us to be born and a time for us to die. We have this one life here on earth. God gave it to us, and one day we shall have to give it back to him. But having said that, there is no doubt that some principles by which we started our Christian life we still uphold to this day, or indeed some principles we started before we were Christians. You heard me say this before on many occasions. I brought up in a very Christian home, godly father and mother, and godly brothers and sisters. And the first time I went to chapel, I presume I was carried in some baby clothes. I'm sure I was. And all through our life, we were taught to revere Sunday, and I always did. Although in an unregenerate state, I didn't altogether like going to chapel, but I never dreamt of staying away from chapel on a Sunday, because I was brought up in that way, and we continue in that way. We should thank God if we came from Christian homes where we were taught these things. No doubt we have certain principles that we live our lives by, and we seek to follow them. But of course there are some things we have to give up. I used to smoke in my young days when I was first converted. And at that time, perhaps it wasn't looked frowned on like it is today, because many of the old saints should get their pipes out as soon as they got out of chapel. But you know, I longed to give it up because I knew it wasn't doing me any good. I tried all sorts of ways and means for all the things that they have today. One day I was studying the Word of God and I was going to preach from the text, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I was rather pleased with the notes that I'd got out. under the privilege to do that, but I did. And then it hit me. I said to myself, no, if you preach that, you're a hypocrite. And I haven't smoked since. Some of these principles you need to give up, but some of them we have to keep. Now our text suggests to us this evening that we are to continue as we began our Christian life. Now if you look at our text, which is as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now our text tells us a great deal, more than perhaps we often think. First of all, it tells us what it means to be a Christian. We have some lovely neighbours. Wherever we have been, we've had lovely neighbours, and not necessarily Christians. Some of them were, but the person I'm talking about now, lovely neighbours. If we want any help or anything, they're ready and willing to come. They come and give us a visit every now and again. And this dear lady came over on Monday morning and to tell us that she was going away. They're going away for a day or two. But she also said, I'd like you to pray. And she gave us the name of a young man that is seriously ill, that she knows him quite well, that is seriously ill, and that needs prayer. And she asked us if we would promise to pray for this young man. His name was Karen. And we said we would. Now, if I ask this woman, as I have, are you a Christian? She immediately says yes. Well, she said, I go to church when she can, but not regularly. She goes to church when she can. She goes to an evening class, a Bible study class, which is good. She's often been round us, to ours, and we have described things to her. But she would be very offended if you said you're not a Christian. But it is evident that she is not. But our text tells us what is a Christian. Where does the true Christian Christian differ from that of the non-Christian? I once talked to a man that was very interested in the Jews. I imagine he possibly had a Jewish background. And he told me, he said, you know, you're either a Jew or you're a Christian. You have to be one or the other. If you're not a Jew, then you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, then you're a Jew. Well, of course, we couldn't agree with that. Some maintain if you're brought up in a Christian country, then you are a Christian. I heard people say that and say that this country is a Christian country. Of course, that's completely wrong. Some maintain if you're brought up in a Christian home, then you automatically become a Christian. Thank God I had a godly father and mother, but they didn't make me Christians. Some think if you adopt Christian principles, then you must be one. You attend church regularly, as much as you can, and you give well to the collection, then that's sure evidence. Someone even goes so far as to say, well, if you've been baptized, or some Christian confirmed, adhere to the ceremonies of the denomination, then you're all right. But our text doesn't suggest any of that. You know, however good and plausible these sentiments are, and they are far off from what the text suggests. Our text tells us a Christian is one who has received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, as strict Baptists, we're not all that happy with the word received, are we? But it's here in the scripture. But when it says received, it doesn't mean in a casual sort of way. I had a sister-in-law that was brought up in Cambridgeshire. And she said, I remember her telling us that as a young girl, they had a children's mission. And the missioner asked the children to put up their hands if they want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, one week I've done it several times. But it didn't make any difference to her life. There are some that still maintain all you have to do is open up your heart. And the Lord will come in, you receive him, and that's all that is needed. Well, of course, it's much more than that. If we're dead in trespass and in sin, we can't do anything. I've worked with undertakers. I've seen corpses. You can talk to them as much as you like, but don't reply. And if we're dead in trespass and in sin, we can't respond to the gospel. We can't receive the Lord Jesus Christ of ourselves. But once he quickens us and makes us his, then we do, we receive him. And I like to think I receive him because he first received me. After all, he received me way back in eternity. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have to ask yourself, am I a real Christian? Or am I just the outward appearance of one? But secondly, dear friends, our text tells us exactly who it is the Christian has received. Now if you look at this, it says Christ Jesus the Lord. And that is interesting to note. It doesn't say you received Jesus. It doesn't say you have received the Lord. It doesn't just say you have received Christ. It says Christ Jesus the Lord. The whole three titles are there. And that is important. There are three titles that are given to us concerning the Saviour. And when we receive him, we must receive all three. Let us take those names one by one and look at them. Christ. Well, as you know, it means the Messiah, or the Promised One. That is who we receive. We receive Christ, God's Promised One, God's only one that can save us. If I am to be saved, then it is only through God's sent one. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only through him. We can try whatever we like, but we can't. We hear so many religions and so-called faiths today. Remember, Prince Charles said that when he comes to the throne, he wants to accept all faiths, not the faith. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Not really. There's Buddhism, Mohammedism, all sorts of things. And all their leaders are dead. They're rotting in the grave somehow. Whatever happened to them. The Lord Jesus Christ, God sent one, he died. But he rose again. And he is alive forevermore. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Mary was told, those who call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And if I am to be saved, and you and I have been saved, it is only through Christ. There is no other way. If we could make people Christian, and I'm so sure some of us would. I had a dear Sunday school teacher when I was a young man at Stradbroke Baptist Chapel. He was a very godly man. He was the church secretary. And he had seven of us young lads in his class, and we used to play him up something terrible. He really did. I say that to my shame. One day he upset him so much that he just simply broke down and sobbed his heart out. Sadly, for a time it didn't make any difference to us. But you know, if he could have made us Christians, he would. But he knew he couldn't. Only God sent one, the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive him as God's on God's terms and his terms only. There is no negotiation with him. I have to accept God's remedy for sin. can't make one for myself, however good my intentions. I'm a Christian, and it's by God's way, that is through Christ Jesus. And you know, it means, simply means Saviour. I've already said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He is the only way of salvation. We read, the wages of sin is death. Remember the Garden of Eden. God put Adam and Eve in that garden to tend it. That must have been the best job that this world ever afforded to anyone. How long it was before they sinned, we don't know. But you just think, in the cool of the evening, every day, God came and walked with Adam and Eve in that garden. He talked to them and communed with them. That must have been something to look forward to. It's lovely when we can meet together like this, because we feel his presence with us. We have communion with him and with each other. But that must have been the highlight of their day. And then what happened? They disobeyed God. They went and hid themselves. They discovered that they were naked. Nakedness had no shame before that. And this time, when God came to commune with them, he had to cry out, Adam, where art thou? As you know, Adam was hiding. And man has been trying to do that ever since, hide from sin. Adam had sinned against God, and he needed that sin to be dealt with. God sent his only begotten Son to deal with that sin. This meant that his Son was the only one to do that. And it meant it took his death to pay those wages. Remember the hymn we used to sing in Sunday school, there was no other good enough. To pay the price of sin, he only could unlock the gate of heaven, let us in. So if I accepted him as the way of salvation, now I do that, then as the scriptures say, it must be all of grace. See, the only reason I accepted him was, as I've already said, because he accepted me first. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There are very important lessons for us to learn from that text, you know. We receive him by faith. But that faith isn't something that we have conjured up. Man once said to me, the best illustration you have of faith is to go to a light switch. When it's off and you want the light, switch it on. And you know that the light will come on. You've got faith to believe that the light will come on. The only reason the light comes on is, dear friend, because you have connected electricity. The electricity is already there. It's waiting to be switched on. Faith is different to that. We have no faith apart from that which God gives to us. For by grace that he saves through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We're given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe it. Now, some people have said to me, no, you must have been born near Christmas. Yes, my day, my birthday is the 27th of December. I was born in the year 1900 and something. But you know, I had nothing to do with that day. I was once in contact with the radio station at Ipswich. And they asked me about a building at Redlingfield where I had done an apprenticeship. And I knew a little about it, and I replied to them. And after the interview, the woman that had contacted me said, now, is your name is Noel. Were you born near Christmas? And I said, yes, I was. And she said, well, wouldn't you like your birth day to be some other time, like in August or something like that? I said, well, not really. I said there was nothing I could do about that. But I said to her, I haven't got the birthright in August. And she said, no, what do you mean? Birthday in August, you got one in December. You can't have one in August as well. I said, I have. My second birth. Now, I'm one of the few that can record the date. And she wondered what I was talking about. She didn't know. And dear friends, as my natural birth was the course of nature, my spiritual birth was the course of God working in me. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but called by grace to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. I was at work one night, one afternoon, just after the war. And as we were busy, I was learning a trade, wheelwright carpenter. And we were busy, so I had to work till 6 o'clock at night, doing overtime at the job. And I left off work at 6 o'clock. I had half an hour's cycle ride home. I then had my tea to have. And at that time, the Faith Mission had a tent campaign in Stradbrook. As I got on my bike to leave work, something seemed to tell me to go to the mission. And I thought, no, I can't. Why should I go without my tea? Because that's what it meant. But you know, by the time I got home, I felt compelled to go, and I went. Preacher wasn't Faith Mission preacher, it was a strict Baptist preacher. And it was through his ministry that I was brought under conviction of sin, very deep. I had been under conviction of sin before, but very deep conviction of sin. And that night I had to cry to God for mercy. And he granted it. I was born again. That was according to the purposes of God, not of man. Saul of Tarsus was persecuting the church, and he left Jerusalem with all the required documents to allow him to go to Damascus to arrest and imprison those he would find preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. What more did he want? He travelled there, about 120 miles, and on the outskirts of Damascus, when he was suddenly smitten down and wonderfully saved. His intention was to go to Jerusalem to hail men and women to prison that he found preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do when he eventually got into Jerusalem? Tell me what he done. He preached Christ. Because he had been born of the Spirit of God. Why did it happen there? Because it was God's appointed time and place for it to happen. Your conversion in mind perhaps wasn't so dramatic as that, as his. But wherever it was and whatever time it was all purposed by God, because it is all of grace. God had determined it. My friend, the very fact that you and I are here this evening is all of grace. There are many people, dear friend, I imagine in this village, to have no thought for God or for his dad, have no thought for prayer. I had another neighbour live quite near me, and he says we go out Wednesday night. Last Wednesday with Emma, go out, dressed up as I am now. And he said, where are you going tonight? I said, the prayer meeting. Oh, he said, will you say one or two for me? I said to him, you know, you're big enough to say them for yourself. But there's no good talking to empty. Something empty. God has given to us this opportunity. That speaks to me, dear friends, of his sovereignty. I know it's supposed to go on, it's supposed to go on. It speaks of his sovereignty. God is sovereign. The one who I have accepted is sovereign and supreme in all of his ways. And no matter, dear friend, once you are his child, you're under his fire. No matter what happens to you, whether it is that which you might call good or that which you might call bad, it is all under his control, and he knows exactly what he's doing. I don't know if I've told you this before. When I was at Otley, I had one of my predecessors that was in prison, in hospital. And I felt it was my duty to go and see him. He wasn't living at Otley then. He was still in membership, but he wasn't living at Otley then. But I went and saw him. He'd had a very nasty operation. And I spoke to him, I read the scriptures, and we prayed together. And he said to me, he said, I don't know what I've done to deserve this. I really don't. Why I should have to suffer like I have? No, you wouldn't expect that to come from someone that possibly dealt with other people like it. But that was how he felt. He was in hospital quite a few weeks, and I went and saw them a second time, and same thing. Why? The third time I wondered whether to go or not, but I did. Anyway, he survived and he got home again. He seemed to make a good recovery, but after about 6 months the old thing flared up again and he was back in hospital. I was told, I thought, well, what am I to do now? Shall I go and see him or not? And I went, just true, more out of duty than anything else, and I went to see him. And I remember walking onto the board, and he was right over the far corner, and I went straight to that corner. And when he looked and saw me, his face lit up with a smile. And I said to him, how are you feeling? Not very well, he said, but you know, all years I'd go through all this again, to be given a revelation of the Lord as I have through this. See, God works out his purposes. We can't always understand them, but he has a purpose in them. All things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. We might not understand it, but he does. See, Paul could put it like this: for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I must hurry on. Let us now note that we are told how, having begun the Christian life, we are to continue in it. We became Christians by receiving Christ, Jesus the Lord. Christianity then becomes very relevant. One of my neighbours said, well, yes, he said, you're one of those religious ones. I said, oh, no, I'm not religious, not religious in the least. Well, of course you are, he said. You go to church or chapel every Sunday, during the week you're out here, there and everywhere. You are religious. I said, no, I'm a Christian. He said, well, that's the same thing. I said, no, Christianity isn't a religion, it's a way of living. And we have to live the Christian life. It becomes a lifetime event. We put our hand in the plough, we can't turn back. When we first trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we relied entirely upon him. And friend, that is what we have to do now. We're to continue in the same. There will not be a day goodbye that we shall not require his mercy and his grace. So we begin the day, dear friend, by asking for it. There are four characteristics in the life of the believer who continue to walk in him. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye had been taught. Rooted in him. I don't know, your gardeners, you've got one good garden here, at least getting rid of the weeds. You can come to mine and never see those. But you know, we put the flowers in and we expect them to grow downwards and upwards. If they are rooted, then they'll grow. And that speaks to me, dear friend, of security. If we are rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no one can take us from him. None shall pluck them out of my hand, he said. And we can believe that, dear. And Satan will come and he'll tempt us and he'll do all that he can to turn us away from the Lord. But he can't. He cannot succeed. We are to be built up in him. In other words, dear friends, we are to become mature. We're not babes in Christ as we were when we first came to know and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in closing such as this, help us to do that. It also speaks of stability. We're established in the faith. How many people today, dear friends, are not stable in what they call the Christian faith? I have two girls, they're both married. The youngest one is a real lovely Christian. And her husband attended one of our churches and were quite happy there, but something went wrong and they went out. I tried to get out and what happened, but all I can do is pray for them. But they're going now to another place where it seems all of our lives go. I wonder if they're getting established in the faith. You see, if Satan can take us away from a good Christian background, he'll do it. You belong to a good church, dear friend, and cling to that. I hope these are the four things that a Christian will do, abounding in him, prosperity. They'll go downwards to get well rooted. They'll go upwards so as to be built up. They will grow inwards to get established. And they will grow outwards to abound in beauty and fragrance. Our lives, dear friends, are meant to be fruitful and fragrant. Our lives are meant to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know I'm preaching to the converted. You've all received them. Let us continue as such. Now I don't think you've got any subjects you would like to make now.
Talk for any topics you've got now. Otherwise we'll spend the rest of the time in prayer. Please pray as you do.
One of my favourite verses, Noel, listened at the beginning of his study, I could do all things through Christ which strengthens me. As we come to prayer, it might be a good thing to remember our churches, both Friston and Otley, in similar situations, I would think, both not thriving number-wise. Pastor and Viva away, so we can pray uninhibited for them on holiday. On this Sunday we've got John Smith coming, so we can pray for the future ministry that we trust we will benefit from. Having been coming to Friston prayer meetings for 6 or 7 years, I know that Pastor often only says, let's give ourselves to prayer, and I know that we're not shy to stand up or to pray. So you don't need any encouragement from me in that regard. So indeed, let us give ourselves to prayer.
Thank you. I ought to just say something about Otley. We are in a very, very low state, the lowest state we've ever been in. Lost four from the congregation. They went to Melton because that had almost closed. They won't help that. And it leaves us with six of us that are normally there, plus the preacher and his wife, if the wife comes, and so on. Occasionally we get a few others in, 8 or 9, but our prayer meeting consists of six or six members, and we have got to the point where we are wondering how much longer we can carry on, because I'm well over 80. Some of you know Colin is over 80, my wife is over 80, Peggy is over 80, and we wonder how much longer we can carry on. But we have a friend, Mr. Michael Gray. He's a tutor in Harrow School. He's been to us two or three times, and he has promised that he would like to come during this month, a couple of days, with a team, and they're going to do some door-to-door visitation. And then later on in August, he's preaching at Otley two Sundays running, and he hopes to do the same in between, and possibly may have it some evangelistic rally or something, you know, to finish off afterwards. That hasn't been worked out yet. But we value your prayers for that, because, dear friend, if nothing happens as a result of that, when Gordon Murray was there, he'd done door-to-door visitation, we've seen nothing of it. If nothing happens as a result of that, then we have to really examine ourselves as to whether the time has come for Otley to close. How much might see Otley close? Neither do anyone else, because once a place is closed like that, the evangelical witness is gone in the village. So please remember us in prayer. Okay.
Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, once again we gather to hear thy word, and you've been pricked in our heart as we consider that text of scripture. Reminds us of those words, pause my soul and ask the question, am I ready to meet God? Am I made a true believer, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? And Heavenly Father, how we thank thee that our salvation is assured. We're conscious that our faith is weak, and yet our salvation does not depend upon the strength of our faith. We're conscious too, Lord, that we are faithless in so many ways, and yet thou dost understand our weakness, and thou lovest us still, and that we are still thy children, even though wayward at times. Lord, we lack the confidence in thee that thou dost deserve, and yet thou dost still forgive and cause us to return to thee. And we praise thee that way is ever open to that great throne room of heaven, and that even when we fail to pray, the Lord Jesus is praying for us, for he has promised, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. How thankful we are that it is the Lord who holds us, and that it's not dependent upon our weak hold of him. And Lord, we do come before thee so thankful for this opportunity to be together. We value one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee for the privilege of worshipping together and of serving a living Saviour. We praise and thank thee for many answers to prayer, but Lord, we have so much more to plead before thy throne. We pray again for our Sunday school. We were disappointed that those that have attended failed to come on the past Lord's Day, and we do plead, Lord, that thou wilt yet cause a return to the Sunday school. We thank thee for Marcus and Rebecca's faithfulness. And we pray for little Abigail and Ethan, that early they will truly come to know and love the Saviour. But we long, Lord, that other children might hear the gospel. For this is such a dark age, and there is so little hope for them, except they know the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for the Monday Club children, thanking thee that they continue to assemble at the Mass. And we plead, Lord, that thou wilt from amongst them call out thine elect to serve thee even in this place. We thank you for Pastor and Vivian, for their zeal, their commitment, their sacrifice, their loyalty to thee and faithful to thee. We thank you for Pastor's ability in preaching the word, but also for the pastoral care he shows us how we do. Thank thee, Lord, that such a small cause as us should have such a pastor, and we pray for them. This time away from them might be the means of great refreshment and help, and that they might know thy peace at this time, and that family situations which have been such a disturbance to that peace might yet find a wonderful resolution if it can please thee, or at least that Pastor and Vivian may have the confidence that God is working his purpose out. We pray for their little grandchildren too. And our God and Father, as we pray for our own little chapel, we do have concerns for our plea. We long, Lord, that thy name might be glorified there, and that the people might be aware that there is a body of people there that love the Saviour. We thank you for Michael Gray and his unusual abilities. We do thank thee that he's a young man of such commitment to the Saviour, that he is a young man who has certainly nailed his colours to the mast, and is known for his strong Protestant stand and preaching ability. We do pray thy protection upon him and his team. We ask, Lord, that all conditions should be conducive to the door-to-door work and any follow-up work that they aim to work toward. Oh, our God and Father, how we plead that thou would yet honour this son, endeavour with thy blessing, moved by thy Spirit, prepare people's hearts. We do beseech of thee to receive the gospel on the doorstep, create an interest and a desire, or even, Lord, break some down, that they might seek the Saviour in the little chapel, and then honour thy name amongst them, we do plead. Thank thee for the faithfulness of those that continue to meet. We ask that thou would encourage them, Lord. Give them a confidence in their God that none shall take away. And we do pray, O God and Father, that in these desperate, desperate days, thou wilt have compassion upon our nation. Thou wilt continue to protect us, but more than that, Lord, wilt thou turn us again to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remove, we beseech of thee, the arrogance of politicians and the general public. Remove, we beseech of thee, their derision of anything that's put forward from the scriptures. Protect those that preach in the open air, we beseech of thee, and create soul thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ. We most earnestly beseech thee that our churches yet might glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and be ready to receive seeking sinners. Lord, this we plead for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Lord, our Father, we rejoice to be able to come before thee once again this evening. Lord, we, sinners by nature, able to come before a thrice holy God, the eternal and infallible, immortal God, but also the God of all grace, the God who loves us with that love strong as death, that brought the Lord Jesus Christ to Calvary's cross and there to bear our sins in his body on the tree. Dear Lord, we do worship thee and ever thou didst design this wonderful way of salvation, whereby sinful man can be made just before our holy God, washed in the precious blood of an innocent substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear Lord, we thank thee that ever we were the subjects of this divine grace and this favour. Lord, we look around in this world and see so many who are perhaps better people by nature than we are, who are more able, and we think perhaps they would have been more useful, and yet, dear Lord, it reminds us, dear Lord, that we were chosen not for dinner, but, dear Lord, for the glory of our grace. And, dear Lord, we thank you that ever we were given this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have been enabled to walk with thee. And, dear Lord, we thank thee that we find it in our hearts to desire to come before thee.
that we delight to be in this place where prayers want to be made, that there is no place where we would rather be, no better place that we could be than here, supplicating our throne. And dear Lord, we come unto thee to worship thee, for thou art the all-powerful God, the God that spake and it was done. But thou art also our personal Saviour. Thou art the God, dear Lord, who would love us to come unto thee as our loving Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, as we read in the Scriptures, the Father, when his Son asks prayer, will not give him a stone. Dear Lord, thou art still of that great kindness. Thou hast that wonderful heart towards us, and this love to hear us come and to receive us, to come unto thee. Lord, we thank you that we have in the Scriptures the wonderful portrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that dear Saviour who, under great pressure, when he knew that he was going to the cross, when he was about to bear that great weight, yet saw the concern of his disciples and said, let not your heart be troubled. And dear Lord, we know that thou art always concerned for us in our personal need. And so, dear Lord, it is in that way that we come unto thee this evening, bringing before thee the needs and the concerns of our heart. Dear Lord, we bring before thee these two churches, Albany and Preston. And dear Lord, we would long that thou would see fit in these days to pour out a blessing upon us. Lord, we pray for the areas in which we seek to serve. We pray for every effort of evangelism. And ask, dear Lord, that thine arm may be made bare in the things of men in these areas. Dear Lord, we plead that every effort that we make, whether it be the preaching of the word, whether it be the website of the church here, the texts that are circulated in literature, we pray and ask, dear Lord, that thou would yet send over to and save many souls, we pray. We pray for that work that is soon to be begun in evangelism around the area. We pray for everyone who will be involved in it, that thou would grant them a powerful anointing, that thou would ordain under thy sovereign control each individual that they will meet, that thou would cause those of thy choice to be at home at the time when their hearts prepare. That we would ask, dear Lord, that thy word would go forth with power, and there might be souls that will be saved as a result of this means of evangelism, but also that there might be those brought in who will labour there in the church at Offaly. And so, dear Lord, we do ask that thou would bless thy word, and thou would save men. Dear Lord, we do pray that thou would maintain that, that there might continue to be a witness and testimony in the Virgin Offaly, and that thou would please, dear Lord, grant that that church will go on and even increase, we pray. Grant those who are in leadership there great wisdom to know what to do in the days ahead. But dear Lord, we ask that thou would glorify thy name. Dear Lord, we do pray for the ongoing work here. We pray for pastor and beard that thou bless them as they are away from us. May they be thoroughly rested. We ask, dear Lord, that thou encourage them in their souls, that they might come back refreshed and desiring to continue to serve here. May they rejoice to be amongst us again, we pray, when they return. And we ask that thou would continue to bless the work here, and best part of the ministry, granting health and strength, clarity of mind and of voice. May the scriptures continue to be open to his understanding, and may the Holy Spirit's blessing accompany every word that is preached in this place, we pray. Lord, we ask for the ongoing work amongst the children, that thou would bless it. Thou knowest how variable it has been. Some weeks 8 or even 10 children, and other weeks 2. We pray, Lord, that thou would continue to bring the children along. We pray for each one that has come. Pray for Brendan, for Chloe, for Kyle, for Jane, for Courtney and for Kate and for me and for Riley as well. And pray, dear Lord, that thou would bring them all out amongst us again and continue to bless Ethan and Evelyn and the sons of the gospel. And may it be, dear Lord, that we might see each of these children saved. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou would continue to bring them here under the sound of the gospel. Bless the Monday Club. Ask, dear Lord, that thou would continue to hedge about and protect that work, but also bless it. May it be that these children in such difficult circumstances might see, dear Lord, the wonderful light of the gospel, might see the love of a loving Heavenly Father, might see the Saviour, dear Lord, who they need. And we ask that they might be truly saved, and thou bless that way. And so, dear Lord, what we pray for ourselves here, we pray that it might yet be the case across this wicked, sinful land of ours. We pray that better days might be ahead, where thou once again pour out thy blessing and save them. Dear Lord, thou art the God who sent revival in years gone by. Thou art the God who brought the Reformation to this land. Thou art the God who raised up so many faithful servants to labour in thy gospel in this land. But Lord, we are in a day of very small things, and we ask that thou would once again come with power and revive thy church. We ask, dear Lord, that thou would save me, and that thou would turn me unto thee. That thou would grant us leaders, dear Lord, who will lead us in ways that will be in line with thy paths. We pray against every effort, Lord, of our politicians to bring immoral ways to our men, to encourage the teaching of evolution and other ungodly things. And we would ask that there might yet be a change, dear Lord, in this, and there might be those who will lead us in the years ahead in ungodly ways. But we do pray that thou yet have mercy upon our men, have mercy upon our churches, and have mercy upon many individual souls, dear Lord, that there might be extension of thy kingdom in this land. We ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God and our Father, we do come before thee once again in adoration of who thou art, of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we thank thee, Heavenly Father, for bringing our brother Noel amongst us again this evening for that preached word, reminding us once again that thou art a sovereign God. And we do indeed pray with our friends at Otley. Many times here on a Tuesday evening we have remember them in prayer. And Heavenly Father, we pray that thou hear our prayers now as once again we come asking that thou be with Michael Gray and his helpers when they come to Otley. We thank thee for Michael. He's a young, enthusiastic young man, loves the doctrines of grace. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as they go around those homes in Otley, that there might be those that do gladly come to the house of mercy. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that thou might even bring in families that once again Otley might have a Sunday school. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, time passed and they had a Sunday school. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that once again, like us, that they might see young people's work going on there. Lord, thou art a great God, and thou can do great things. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that thou hear us in this matter. And we do thank thee, Heavenly Father, for our brother Noel. There's many who have come to know and know thee as Saviour and Lord as he's preached our word. And we, like so many other, have been benefited and been built up in our most holy faith as he's preached thy word. And we do indeed thank thee for his dear one who has been alongside him all these years, and we pray, Lord, that thou continue to bless them both. We do think of Pastor and Vivian away from us at this time. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that this little time of holiday in Scotland, that they come back to us physically and spiritually refreshed. And we do indeed thank thee for their enthusiasm. And we do pray, Heavenly Father, that their enthusiasm that they have for lost souls and for building this church out might spill over to us and we might capture that enthusiasm. And Heavenly Father, we do pray for the houses, the people who live round about this chapel, Saxmundham, Snake, Knowlborough. By monthly they have a word which Pastor receives from thee, and we put in the doors. And Lord, we know there are a few that say that they read it and are blessed by it. And Lord, I've had somebody who's told us that they don't want to receive them anymore. But that must mean that their heart was troubled with what they read. And we do pray, Heavenly Father, that we're only a few in number and we're doing our best to, with thy help, to reach out to others. And we pray, Lord, that they'll be pleased to bring one and another into this house of mercy. And Lord, it's coming to the holiday time, and often people holiday round about here and venturing on the Lord's Day. And we do pray, Lord, that as they go back to their own fellowships, that one thing they will remember of their time at holiday might be the time that they spent here on the Lord's Day. And so, Heavenly Father, we come before thee now asking that thou be with Brother John as he comes to us on the Lord's Day, and to take for him and bless him. Then, Heavenly Father, be with us again as we sit around the Lord's table. Thank thee, Heavenly Father, for our forefathers who appointed the first Lord's Day in the month, time to gather around
the table to remember that our salvation is all of Thee and none of us, and a time to remember Thy broken body and Thy shed blood. And we do again, Heavenly Father, come before Thee, thanking Thee for that shed blood and for that wonderful knowledge that we have, that through that shed blood we have remission of all of our sins. So, Heavenly Father, we come before Thee now, ask that Thou indeed bless the fellowship here at Friston and at Ugly. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen.
Now, dear God, as we continue in this time of prayer, this lovely privilege that we enjoy as Christians to be able to seek the throne of grace, to be able to seek the face of our Heavenly Father, we remember our pastor and his wife away from us on holiday. We pray that not only that they will have a lovely, refreshing time, but that they will, both of them, remain well and fit while they're away, that nothing would cause them to come home prematurely or to spoil their time. We do thank Thee, Father, for times of holiday and for bringing Dawn and myself back safely from a recent time abroad. And as Dawn has gone back to work today, we pray You'll continue this week to help her get back into things, and that she will be helped when things get difficult, that You will give her much needed grace. And that her witness will remain intact, and she will keep herself close to the Lord Jesus Christ and resort to Thee. We do pray, Father, for Mandy now going through the last few weeks of her old school, and we trust that she's looking forward to her new job and responsibilities and challenges, but we do pray again for her and her family. Pray, Father, that those last few days at her present school, that she might be able to be a bright shining light in the classroom and a wonderful testimony to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I look forward to this coming Lord's Day and look forward to hearing John Smith come amongst us and preach to us. Pray that we might be richly blessed and encouraged by those things that He brings us from the Scriptures. Pray that You help the one that leads in the time of communion as well. We pray, dear God, that the text that we have by the roadside will challenge one another. We know that some people will be upset by the Scriptures that we put there. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ indeed is a stumbling block to many. We do pray, Father, that it might be an effective witness. People might know what this place might be about by those Scriptures that are so plainly displayed. We do pray for the upcoming work that will take place at Otley in that village. We pray, Father, for doors to be opened, both the physical doors as they go from door to door, but also spiritual doors. And we pray that salvation might follow this work, the folk at Otley might be encouraged, and we pray, our Father, most of all, that the place will continue to be there, a witness to the saving grace of our Saviour. Pray for this church at Otley, that You will keep it there and it might grow. We do pray, Father, that You will forgive us for our many sins. We hate the way in which we love our sins and that we cling to them, and how we are so tempted by the world at times. But we do pray, Father, that You will keep us in the hollow of Thy hand. We pray, our Father, we might ever be looking up to the Saviour. We pray for dear young friend Joel as he continues to come, that You will speak to him from the Scriptures and open his heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ if he hasn't already. We pray for him. Pray for the witness of Nathan as he goes about his studies and his job that he has. We pray that that young man might be rooted and grounded and builded on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read tonight from the scriptures. We do thank thee, our Father, for the scriptures that we have had explained to us today. A wonderful letter to the Colossians. Suitable for young Christians to read. And we pray that as we return to it tonight, that each one of us might receive an ongoing blessing from the Word of God. So hear our prayers, dear Father in heaven, as we come and pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you that there has been much that's been asked of your hand here this evening, but not too much. We thank you because you're able to exceed abundantly above all we can ask or even think. We thank you, Lord, that all the prayers, those that we've heard, those that have been audible, as well as those that have been spoken from the heart, are all registered now in heaven. In your time and in your way, you will answer those prayers. Lord, give to us that faith to look and expect those answers. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we've spent together here this evening, and ask that we might carry something of the fragrance of this meeting home with us. And although we break up from this prayer meeting, we might continue in prayer that your blessing might be outpoured upon us in abundant manner. We ask these verses in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.